A true Christian living in the world is like a ship sailing on the ocean. It is not the ship being in the water which will sink it, but the water getting into the ship. So in like manner, the Christian is not ruined by living in the world, but by the world living in him. Our daily avocations, yea, our most lawful employments, have need to be narrowly watched, lest they insensibly steal upon our affections and draw away our hearts from God. This is a quote coming to you from the Biblical Illustrator. Now, before getting into the message, I would like us to just go over some of the things that were brought out in this opening quote. First of all, speaking of the ship being in the water, we can understand that that will not sink it. But when that water gets into the ship, it surely will. You as a Christian living in the world will not bring ruin to your life. But when the world is living in you, that will ruin you. We are told in this opening quote to narrowly watch your daily avocations, your pastimes, your diversions, as well as your lawful employments, lest they steal upon your affections and draw away your heart from God. And that's the great danger that's being presented here, of your heart being drawn away from God. Nothing does this more than having a love for the world. In this broadcast, we are continuing our new series based on the theme, Striving for the Mastery. In this particular broadcast, we will use as our main text, 1 Timothy 6:11, which says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Now, before getting into the study, I want to ask you a series of questions. First of all, let me ask you, are you a man or woman of God? Or are you a man or woman of the world? The truth of the matter is, you may be a man or woman of God who has allowed water in your ship, so to speak. You have allowed the world into your Christian walk. To what degree? A small amount? Or is your ship ready to sink from the intake of the world? Did you know that as a man or woman of God, there are things you must flee from and things you must follow after? What is God requiring you to flee from today? What is he calling you to follow after? Now, going to our opening, our main quote, or I'm sorry, our main text, in 1 Timothy 6:11, Paul is speaking to Timothy here, and he said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Notice how Paul addressed Timothy here. He said, "But thou, O man of God." Now, in the Old Testament, this was a common designation of a prophet. This was a title given to the prophets who revealed the mind and the will of God to the people. For instance, in 1 Samuel 9, Samuel is titled the man of God. In 1 Kings 17 and 2 Kings 1, Elijah is given that designation, the man of God. And then in 2 Kings 4, Elisha is referred to as the man of God. But the first occurrence is used of Moses. And we see that in Deuteronomy 33:1, where it says, Moses, the man of God. And also Psalm 90, the title, it says, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. But then when we come over to the New Testament, we see that Paul is addressing this pastor, this young pastor, Timothy, by this title, by this appellation. And he calls him, O Man of God. And in the New Testament, Timothy is the only one that is called by this name. But actually, in the New Covenant, this title refers to all just men who are faithful to the Lord. But thou, O man of God, what Paul was implying here, as you look over 1 Timothy 6, he's implying when he calls him, O man of God, he's implying that Timothy is a man of another world. He's one who seeks a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. He's also referring to all those who take God for their portion, who have God as their true riches, who see God's ends, whose course is different from the worldly, who no longer are men or women of the world, who are raised above earthly things, and who are God's property, and they know it. They're not their own, but they are bought with a price. Now, as we look over 1 Timothy 6, we see where what's emerging here is this contrast that Paul is bringing forth between the man of God and the man of the world. We see words like, he's describing those that are destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. They that will be rich, the love of money is the root of all evil, after which some coveted after. So he's bringing forth this contrast between the man of God and the man of the world, because then after using those terms, he says to Timothy, but thou, O man of God. But thou, O man of God. Now that word of, it indicates specific identity, connection, or association. So we have, O man of God, or man of the world. Let me ask you, do you identify with God or with the world? Are you connected more to the Lord or to the world? Do you feel more in association with the Lord or the world? Throughout the Bible, we see this dichotomy presented. For instance, the man of God seeks first the kingdom of God. The things of the world are of secondary importance. He's diligent in business, but he's not a slave to it. Whereas the man of the world, he's a man of business, but he's a slave to it. And the things of the world are of great importance. Also, we see throughout the Bible that the man of God lives according to the divine will, whereas the man of the world lives according to the inclinations of the world. The man of God does the will of God, but the man of the world, he certainly doesn't do the will of God, because the world wants nothing to do with God's will. And this man of the world follows the will of the world. The man of God, his sole object is to follow after God, whereas the man of the world follows after worldly riches. The man of God is taken up with the things of God, whereas the man of the world sets his heart upon the things of the world. In both cases, they are both covetous, but the man of God covets spiritual things, whereas the man of the world covets earthly things. But the sharp contrast between the man of God and the man of the world is brought out so clearly in 1 John 2:15 by the Apostle John. This is what he said: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And we see here that John is bringing forth the character difference between the man of God and the man of the world. The man of God, plainly stated, is a lover of God, whereas the man of the world is a lover of the world. He makes the things of the world his treasure. He puts his trust in them rather than in God. This man of the world, he loves the world as his portion. He makes himself the center of his world. He loves the ways of the world, the passions, the pleasures, the pursuits. And the love of God, as a result, becomes dwindled and decayed in his life. The preacher's homiletic commentary said this: "God, and not worldly riches, is the sole object of the good man's desires. He has got a glimpse of the other side of earthly things. He soars after higher and diviner things. He cannot rest in the material, but finds his pleasure in seeking those things that are above." Then Matthew Henry added this: "It ill becomes any man, but especially men of God, to set their hearts upon the things of this world. Men of God should be taken up with the things of God." Okay, now in closing, in 1 Timothy 6:11, our main text, the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy and said, "But thou, O man of God." And then he went on to say, "Flee these things and follow after." He gave him two directives as a man of God. He said, "Flee these things and follow after." When he used that word "flee," he was saying, run away, shun, escape, abhor, avoid these things. What was he talking about? Well, the context of 1 Timothy 6 gives us the answer. He was talking about fleeing that undue, excessive affection for the world. Flee being entangled with the worldly acquisitions and pursuits. Flee that immoderate, excessive, extreme love of the things of this world, that eager pursuit of them. Flee these things, O man of God. But not only that, follow after. That word, those words, follow after, mean pursue, seek after, reach after, press after. I like the words reach after. It gives you that image of reaching forward. Now these two phrases, flee these things, follow after, they are in total contrast to each other. Fleeing, you're fleeing, or you're following after. And when Paul told Timothy, "O man of God, follow after," he was saying, soar after higher and diviner things. Matthew Henry said this: "It is not enough that men of God flee these things, but they must follow after what is directly contrary thereto." Once again, I ask you, are you a man or woman of God? Or are you a man or woman of the world? To help you answer that question, let me say this: you are either fleeing from the world and following after God, or you are fleeing from God and following after the world. Now, let me say that again in case you didn't get it. You are either fleeing from the world and following after God, or you are fleeing from God and following after the world. Which is it, and to what degree? You are a man or woman of God based on what you are fleeing and what you are following after. How would you fill in the blanks? Today, I am fleeing blank. What would you fill in? And today, I am following after blank. What would you fill in? Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of the theme, Striving for the Mastery. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you will walk in the truth every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.